Say that again, Tara.
That's the reason that Matt earns the big bucks. He's the Pied Piper of synthetics, bringing listeners.
Yeah, I mean, he's
the chats.
I know he's got the voice as well, and they all come for him. I think everyone's tired of hearing about synthetics for the last hour, so I'm on the graveyard shift. Let's kick off. In the meantime, we've got some updates on work in progress for SIPs. Anything else we wanted to flag before jumping in? I don't think we have any SIP presentations later today.
Nope.
We can reserve some time for some discussion around C ratios towards the end. All right, in GovChat, you can see the written updates there. I won't go through the top priorities. They haven't changed. V3, atomic swaps, debt migration, and purpose V2. We haven't got Mark or Caleb here today. So I'll give the V2X update. And that is that 1inch is integrating their side of the SIP288 for direct integration. They hopefully have that wrapped up in the next couple of days. And SIP299, which is will be one of the two final V2X SIPs for staking migration, has been sent over to audit. Afif, did you want to add anything on 288?
No, I think we're close, and we're just waiting on 1inch.
Sweet. Noah, anything? I know 299 was kind of half V2X, half V3. Did you want to add anything on that and then jump into V3?
Yeah. 299 is, we flagged it for the auditors. It relates to the migration plan. It's not particularly big. It was just in the sort of availability and workflow for the auditors. It was good to get them to do a pre-review on that, because I think they have some availability this week. So that's what's up with 299. Otherwise, we're making good progress across the board. There's work happening on V3 spot markets. We're doing R&D around like scalability and cross-chain stuff. The rewards manager interface is getting finalized. We have some initial work on the subgraphs getting going, and we're working on finalizing the code and the documentation to make sure everything's ready for audit. As far as SIP presentations go, we got through the meat of them, I think, in the past couple of meetings. I think the migration plan is like the main last thing we need to make sure everyone's on the same page about. We can continue having more discussions about V3 broadly, but that's, I think that's where things stand at a high level right now.
Thanks, Noah. I know there's a lot of SIPs for V3 from the council side. Was there any specific questions or any discussion you want to have around V3 SIPs? Conscious of kind of skimming through a long list of things that are happening all at once. Doesn't sound like it. Happy to move to perps side of things. Good news is we should be going to testnet this week and implementing any of the audit feedback that we've got so far. Afif, did you want to expand on that a bit?
Yeah, so let's see. I think David just got through the premium discount function stuff. I think one of the feedback from the auditors was that they wanted to maybe have it more holistically. So we're going to try to get through some other stuff before sending it all to them. But I think the next thing is just kind of working through some of the downstream side effects of premium discount, like making changes to liquidations and having slippage protection and those kinds of things, which are in progress now. I guess maybe one other update is for people who've been around a while, Anton is going to be helping out on Perps V2 just because he was the original architecture architect of the PERPs V1 contracts, and he understands them very well. And because we're being very paranoid and cautious and want to make sure this goes across very smoothly, he's going to be code reviewing and helping out on mechanism stuff and anything where we might benefit from his wealth of experience. So, yeah, so we're feeling really good about PERPs V2.
Thanks, Afif. Yeah, Afif is always traveling, potentially homeless. Spends too much time thinking about perps.
Oh, I like to walk during these meetings. Sorry, it's the only time I get out of my chair when I have meetings that I can walk during. Yeah.
Wrapping up PERPs V2, I think the final update of work in progress is staking V2. This week, we've had the internal release amongst CCs and some of the DAOs. Honestly surprised that hasn't been leaked yet, but we're expecting to have that live next week. Hopefully when C ratios are a little bit less angry. Yeah, that's exactly how I imagine it, Cassette. That is the wrap on SIPs and work in progress. Happy to turn over to the council for any discussions. We finished kind of early and we've got a bunch of time.
That was really fast. I'm kind of missing Caleb, you know?
Yeah, what are we trying to take off, man?
It's actually a synthetics curse. Anytime somebody takes off a week, the market melts down. It's actually kind of crazy. I've been too scared to take a week off since Luna.
So maybe if we spied everyone, we could kind of break that curse. Just have one workaholic.
That's a really very innovative idea.
So speaking of markets and prices, you know, I was hoping we could lower the C ratio a little bit to give stakers some respite.
How about it, Matthew?
I was waiting for other people to win. I think everybody knows I would vote against it, but I guess other people want to win.
I think it's always wants 500%, right? So I kind of know its sense.
Well, I mean, we need to give Gauntlet the opportunity to step in and give their opinion. I mean, we have a contract with them, so I think that should be the thing around which discussion takes place. Otherwise, why have them?
You mean like the Gauntlet guys?
Yes.
Yeah, they did say recently that they had some updated data for us. I think it's obvious that there are a lot of people in the community that want the C ratio lowered, but if they have data for us, I think I agree that we should probably take a look at what their models are saying.
Sorry, Cassette, can I continue?
No, that's okay. dire, you know, from their assessment, I think at the moment I wouldn't want to lower it because I think we've saved ourselves a lot by raising it and, you know, keeping the overall network health better. So yeah, kind of against it right now.
So I think I checked the dashboard and it was updated a couple of days back and it had similar recommendations for keeping it at 400. So that was that. And well, what else was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. Afif, it's all your fault.
is all part of my plan.
Yep. We've had instances where we have decreased the seed ratio with even rising prices. So I would imagine it's not too much of a stretch that we could consider this.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see the data from Gauntlet first before really devoting time to it.
Yeah, and I think there's another point. They happily changed the liquidation threshold from 150 to 145, and nobody said a thing. So, which actually might contribute to insolvent debt, you know. So that's also another point. This was way back, obviously, so it's not something recent. But yeah, maybe it's best if, you know, Gauntlet was on stage and they were to speak their mind about it. It wouldn't be fair without hearing them. That's the point that I agree about.
They did mention the channel that they have some analysis they're preparing to share soon. So maybe next week we can get them on stage.
I don't know why a firm that specializes in risk analysis could possibly be busy right now.
Yeah, so the point that I had forgotten a couple of minutes ago, I had Lasting Mask Gauntlet to share a picture of how the LAR and VAR, liquidation at risk and value at risk, changes over time, because it often happens that they throw out these numbers which seem to be huge to us, and we are unable to get the context of how it is changing over time and whether it's, you know, too much of a change to warrant a change to make the C ratio higher or lower, as the case may be, even though they've almost never suggested it to lower it. So that's another thing that we should consider while making these decisions.
And then no further discussion on C ratios? I figured that would go for a bit longer.
Well, my opinion is what's been said, so that's why I'm not repeating it, but we should take it to Gauntlet, run it through the data, and see if it would make sense.
You know, it's no secret that I've often opposed Gauntlet's view, and it's the reason is, you know, the data or simulations are almost like a black box, and out comes a number which says up C ratio, and here we go. So, yeah, that's where I stand on it, but happy to hear others' views.
I think as far as Gauntlet is concerned, like, it's useful to consider. We've definitely moved it without their input before, but I think in the absence of, you know, a scenario that's pretty, you know, some people not being able to claim and missing out on their rewards is somewhat the incentive mechanism for bringing more capital into the system when it's needed. So that's kind of, and if they don't, then their rewards go to other people who are doing that and maintaining a C ratio. So that's the design. So I don't really think that we should lower it every time that the market dumps, as long as we're not in a having our whales in a too big to fail kind of scenario. Like, I don't see a reason to do that unless Gauntlet came up with, you know, a pretty serious case for it.
Yeah, I think too, for me, given how recent this dump is, it's, you know, still pretty early in the last claim period. So if, I'm not sure if the dashboard is correct, but if you look at the Grafana page, optimism seems to be in pretty good shape. Like, people have a pretty high C ratio there, from what the dashboard says. Mainnet, obviously a little bit low, but it's hard to tell right now whether, you know, people can't pay or whether they're just not fixing their C ratio. And sometimes it's a little easier to tell that if you give it a little more time and it gets closer to the next claim. That's when people start fixing. People don't typically fix like the, you know, on Thursday. They'll fix on Sunday night, something like that, or Tuesday night even. So I kind of
I agree with that because it takes time for stakers to adjust to the market conditions. So I definitely agree with that point. But having said that, you know, if it's a case of stakers not being able to keep up, then you know, a lot of them will probably end up missing the claim period.
I'd also direct stakers to the loans mechanism. If they have any spare ETH, they can get a loan for 0.25% APR with zero issuance fee. So that should help certain stakers fix OC ratios for pretty cheap.
It's also worth noting that the peg isn't actually too far off at the moment. So if people are shy normally of converting other stables into SUSD to burn, now would be a good time. Oh, and regarding the impression people have of Gauntlet, I can't pretend that I have a particularly developed ability in the field of risk analysis, but the impression I've got from Caleb, whose opinion I generally trust, is that they have developed far more nuance in their ability to read the staking system and the synthetics ecosystem more broadly. So I'm more willing now than I was initially to defer to their judgment.
And that's all I had to say about the series show. So that's it from my side.
Perhaps we can use the remaining time to do some guided meditation or something after the last couple of days.
We're certainly looking at the markets here.
Do we have another?
Sorry, Ali, you're hard to
hear. Your audio. Yeah. All right.
Okay. What about now?
Usable.
Yeah, so other topics of discussion?
Are you raising one or
open floor at this stage? Any? Yeah, seems like everyone's slightly distracted or had enough of Dex calls for today. Did we want to wrap up early or continue discussion given we're all here?
Oh, I just thought perhaps if he probably watches these things quite closely, as a general impression of how the system held up during the last couple of days of volatility.
I mean, one thing that like we even went and checked because we were like we thought like that liquidation bots were broken or something because we weren't seeing really many people getting flagged. But everything was functioning fine. It just turns out that nobody was really getting force liquidated. I did see a few self liquidations, mostly on Optimism. I think most of the self liquidations that have happened so far have tended to be on Optimism. But like overall, the network seemed pretty stable through this, which I think was a really nice surprise that we got down to like the 160s, which was almost, you know, matching the May/June lows. And we didn't really have a big wave of liquidations or anything. So overall, it was like pretty stable and pretty good. And also the futures markets also held up extremely well. The circuit breaker was kicking in a good bunch of times on Sol because there was huge dislocations throughout the market. And I think that futures the perps markets have actually been net profitable for the through this volatility the last few days. So yeah, I guess that's maybe some bright spots to feel good about.
You know, to touch upon that, isn't too less liquidations also a problem and not a healthy sign for the protocol? I mean, given the high volatility, you should be expecting some liquidations and, you know, maybe that's a sign of C ratio being too high. Sorry, I'm just being an ass.
I actually think, like, the ground state is I would expect zero liquidations because it's not a leverage system. I don't think of it as a leverage system, at least, where people are taking credit and longing more, where you would expect like more liquidations as you go down. Like, I think the base expectation is that people mint, they hedge when the price goes down, they always have funds available to burn. You know, maybe the peg can get a little bit unstable when there's a crunch of people who are getting back into SINs to burn, but my base case expectation isn't liquidations, but obviously like we expect them to happen because not everybody is going to do exactly what the prescribed behavior is, but I think it's still a good thing that we didn't have liquidations because liquidations, you know, above all else, they put stress on the protocol and they give, you know, stakers SLX collateral at, you know, 120 to 130% in the best case scenario that's locked for a year, but they get, you know, 100% worth of debt right away. So if we can avoid those, I think it is generally, it's a huge plus that we didn't have any. I mean, I know, you know, other things aside.
Yeah, I was actually referring to, I think, if I remember correctly, it was one of Gauntlet's blogs that said that a healthy system should also have liquidations and healthy liquidations as such to, you know, because, I mean, if other protocols are having many liquidations in such cases, then it's probably a sign of, you know, getting rid of the really, really bad people who aren't able to repay the debt.
Yeah, I mean, if we had, like, you know, old liquidations where we actually were able to take the SNX and sell it on the market without too much impact and actually wash out bad debt, those are good. But, like, this way, with socialized liquidations, we kind of, those were born out of necessity. Because the liquidity had deteriorated so bad, but it doesn't actually destroy debt. It just moves it to other stakers. So it's a little bit different. And I do prefer the scenario where we don't actually have to use that mechanism as much because, you know, because for whatever reason, people are managing their debt well or whatever, or even if it is because the C ratio is high, I get that it puts stress on people. I get that people aren't claiming if they aren't able to. But I just think we have to prioritize, you know, the overall health of the protocol until we can have a better system in place in V3, which we're trying to get to as quickly as we can.
Okay, and another aspect that I want to talk about regarding V3 is if you mentioned about the delay and people self-liquidating, right? So you would kind of be taking it away if you don't have that delay in V3. So would it be possible to keep that if it's not too complex?
Well, we can discuss it more. I mean, I obviously I don't make the decision about if we can keep it. Just my proposal would be that we don't keep it, but it's certainly something we can discuss more before we vote on the liquidation SIP. Does anybody else want to chime in with their opinion on whether or not we should have a flag delay? I mean,
given the volatility we've seen over the last 2 days, 12 hours wouldn't be a sufficient window of opportunity to ensure system health, in my opinion, especially if people are mutually calling for lower C ratios at the same time as proposing flagging and liquidation delays.
I mean, we had people this week saying that they were burn locked because they went from issuance ratio to, and they were worried about like, oh, how am I going to burn? And we were like, well, it's not very standard that you would go from 400% to 200% in the same week. So the 7-day burn lock, but like, yeah, like it can really, really move. And my personal take is that the flag and delay, it scares the crap out of me. Cause like you literally sit there for 12 hours waiting. I mean, if you actually get, maybe we could have a flagging period if we had like a super, super conservative liquidation ratio where like it would have to drop a lot more from there. But like with 145 or 150% liquidation ratio, like if you get to that point, I mean, you could absolutely drop another 20 or 30% within that hour period. And then the stakers are getting, you know, less collateral, the debt. It's not really fair to other stakers, and I think.
Yeah, just to point out, and correct me if I'm wrong, the lower C ratio and this liquidation window doesn't really go together because V3 doesn't really have a C ratio for individual positions, right?
That's right, yeah. It just depends on where, I mean, it does have a liquidation ratio, but yeah, it doesn't have an issuance. But I mean, we'll have a ton of debt that's grandfathered in at whatever the ratio was, because, you know, we can't force people to pay back debt. So it's going to be kind of a mixed bag. But yeah, in V3, there will be no claiming ratio, but there will be just like a issuance ratio for every, and a liquidation ratio for every collateral type.
That the rewards distribution contract could be configured to not reward users based on C ratio.
Yeah, to clarify, the way it's set up right now is that like the distribution over time would still be sort of allocating over time like the rewards distribution to users regardless of whether they were over under the C ratio. But the rewards distributor could also just revert if at the moment of claiming the user is under. As it's set up now. I mean, we could obviously revisit the functionality across the board here, but like, yeah, at least as it's set up now, that's that would be the most straightforward thing.
And I think I would also echo Afif in that there's really no reason to give people extra leeway who are that far underwater other than putting in some safety mechanisms to make sure that the liquidation isn't on some scam wick or some crazy velocity that isn't going to hold. But it's very similar, I think, across the board, anywhere you trade, the notion of having an initial margin when you open a position and then you are liquidated after you fall below your maintenance margin. Everyone should be used to operating in that system. And we shouldn't allow people any more leeway than what already exists.
Given we've still got a little bit of time, Noah, did you want to capitalize on this by sharing any further V3 updates or context? I know everyone's itching.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff we could talk about. I'm not sure if there's anything in particular of interest. I think we can get a SIP presentation, at least for the feature flex thing, on the schedule for next week. That should be a quick one. Yeah, and like I think once we feel like the council has a pretty strong understanding of the V3 system and what we're doing there, and everyone's happy with that, then yeah, I think sorting out the migration plan is going to be the next big conversation to be had. But yeah, I feel like now is probably not the time of day or to dig into that yet. But I think that's the sort of the next thing on the horizon. But yeah, if there's any questions or concerns that haven't been expressed yet, or any topics around V3 that people want to discuss, yeah, feel free to make a suggestion.
No, I think Adam's not here, but I think he mentioned a couple of weeks back the migration plan for SUSD and SNXUSD and how we're going about it. I think that's kind of important, and we should devote a particular session to it or something.
Yeah. I think that'll be the main sort of the main focus of the migration plan. Yeah, and just to reiterate, like the idea is we would have a new stablecoin to distinguish the debt that's being issued from the V3 core system, separate from the debt and the SINTs that are issued from the V2 system. And the big upshot here is that we could have a progressive migration where essentially the V3 system could back the V2 system as it stands. People would be able to convert those stable coins over one-to-one. All existing SINTs in V2 would continue to be backed. And then, yeah, that's at a high level, that's the goal of that plan. I understand their concerns, but I think the flip side is, like, if we did keep all of the existing proxies, we would need to basically recreate the markets for all of the existing debt on V2, and then it feels much riskier to me to have this like hard cutover of like sort of swapping the whole system out at once. So I think that's sort of what the trade-offs look like here. And so again, we can obviously get into much deeper discussion of this and into more of the specifics, but hopefully that summary is helpful.
Yep, helpful. Thanks.
All right. Well, I think I think what everyone's saying is they'd like to wrap up for the day. Early mark for a change. Unless there's anything else to hold us up. All right, let's wrap it up. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for the updates, and we'll see you next week. Probably some more SIPs coming out.
Okay.
Watch out for announcements.
Thanks, Debs, for keeping us all safe, everyone.
Thanks,
everyone.